Coming up on today's episode, the latest Disney news, which is admittedly not very much, but we got some new shows coming to Disney Plus. That's fun. All that and a bit more, plus our featured film discussion on Hidden Figures on today's Plus or Bust. Welcome to episode 66 of Plus or Bust, a Disney podcast, where each week we watch a random movie on Disney Plus and decide whether we would recommend it a plus or not a bust. My name is Matt, and joining me today are my co-hosts, my wife Krizza.
Present.
My brother Brady.
Yeah, hello.
And my sister Nikki.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
How's everybody? Good?
Okay. I think they're both better than you.
Well, I had some technical problems, but it's fine. We sorted it out. We figured it out. We're good. We're fine. We're fantastic.
Yeah, I definitely saw you having a mini panic attack, though, while you were trying to fix it.
Well, this computer is fairly new. It should not have a broken component already.
It's almost 2 years old.
Is it almost?
It's about a year and a half old.
Yeah.
It How about have... it? No.
No, it shouldn't have a broken. It shouldn't have a broken
No, component. I agree, but...
That's all I'm saying.
They used to wear, like, I saw you freaking out.
I didn't want anything to... Anyway, enough about that. Nobody wants to hear about our technical nonsense. Before we get to Gripe Corner, Krizza said she has a gripe. Surprise. Oh. So, we will get to Gripe Corner. But, I have to make a sincere apology for something I said on the last episode. I need to apologize to the Walt Disney Company. I need to apologize to Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh my god.
I need to apologize to the cast of Encanto. I egregiously stated on episode 65, Minnie Wears the Pants Now plus Eternals of Plus or Bust a Disney Podcast. I said, we don't talk about Bruno. We'll never make it to number one on the Hot 100, the Billboard Hot 100, because Adele is an unstoppable force, and I thought nothing could bring Adele down. She was at number one. Just yesterday, the Billboard charts updated, and We Don't Talk About Bruno becomes the second Disney song ever in the history of the charts to make it to number one. It has beat Adele. And for that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Bruno. I'm sorry, Lynn. I'm sorry, Mirabelle. I'm sorry to everyone who listened to this podcast for the latest and greatest Disney news and opinions, because
sure
I was incorrect.
Everybody was so like, you know what? If Matt says it, it's like God's word. I think you're okay.
I just need everybody to know that I am sorry. I was wrong. I was wrong. Anyway, we don't talk about Bruno. Number one on the Billboard charts.
Crazy. Good for Bruno.
Second ever.
Speaking of that.
Uh-oh.
I know that they were, people have been commenting on, what's it called? Face or Twitter and all that stuff about how they chose Dos Arruguitas instead of We Don't Talk About Bruno.
For the Oscars, you mean?
Yeah. And somebody was like, Disney is going to live to regret that decision, blah, blah, blah.
No, they won't.
Like, they won't, because I don't think We Don't Talk About Bruno would win.
I don't think it would either.
Just because it's popular right now. That's not who votes for the Oscars. It's not us voting.
Well, right. A Disney song isn't guaranteed to win anyway.
Right.
There's no...
Exactly.
Even Dos Arruguitas, it'll probably be nominated. That doesn't mean that it's going to win.
Right, exactly. But I don't think We Don't Talk About Bruno would have won either. I think Dos Arruguitas has a better chance of winning because it's more... I think the slow songs are more...
It's Oscar bait. It's Oscar bait, the song, you mean?
Yes.
But something to keep in mind, when The Little Mermaid came out, they nominated both Part of Your World and Under the Sea for Best Song of the Oscars. They were both nominated. Under the Sea won. Part of Your World did not win the Oscar for Best Song.
Wow. That year. Can you scoot over? You have like all of the space.
It was...
I have like no space.
It was Under the Sea. But anyway, I agree. I don't know that any of the songs will win, but, I mean, maybe. Disney's got a pretty good track record. I feel like they have more Oscars in that category than anything else. Well.
I just think right now people are comparing, We Don't Talk About Bruno to Let It Go. In terms of success. But it's... They're very different, and, you know.
It's because that was the last one. That was the last big one. Let's let it go. I would like it if the Dos Orguitas wins best song, and then a different movie wins best animated movie, so that Disney doesn't get another best animated picture Oscar. They don't need
you
it.
You don't want Encanto to win best animated
It's not picture? That I don't want it to win, it's just that the Academy always just votes for Disney because it's Disney. Like, they always
I want Luca to win.
You want Luca to win?
I'm just kidding.
I would like Mitchell's versus the Machines to win.
Do you think Mitchell's versus the Machines was really better than Encanto, though?
I'm not saying that it was better, but it has a more unique art style. It's got a...
I wish Klaus would have won over fucking Toy Story 4. Sorry, Matthew.
It was directed by a gay woman. I just think that it would mean more for it to win. Disney's got a million Oscars. And Encanto's going to go on to be... Encanto's going to go on to be remembered forever. Let the Mitchell's versus the Machines have its moment in the sun.
I guess.
I also would have liked Klaus to win over Toy Story 4. I don't think it was even nominated.
Wow.
Was Klaus even nominated?
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was. It was Frozen 2 that wasn't nominated, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Because that's when this whole argument started.
Oh. That was what started the argument? The Oscars?
Yes.
Oh, it was.
Because I said that if you were going to pick one of the two, they picked the right one.
The beginning of the end.
But overall, Klaus should have won.
I agree that Klaus should have won. I think that, first of all, again, Disney has a million Oscars, especially Best Animated Feature Oscars. So, like, they don't need any more. Their movies, they're going to be making merchandise for Encanto and Luca for the rest of all time, right? People are going to be watching those movies forever. I think if we're going to hand out Oscars for Best Animated Feature, it should be ones that, like, push the medium forward in some unique way. Like, when Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won... That's awesome, because that movie looks like... There's no other movie that looks like that.
That's true.
Right.
Mitchell's vs. the Machines has a very unique art style. Like, I think that it should be recognized for that. And also, it's a good movie. Like, it's not just a good art style, it's a good movie. It's like when the Lego movie wasn't nominated, I felt like that was a huge snub, because that movie looks like nothing else. Why wasn't the Lego movie nominated for Best Animated Feature?
Because it's about toys.
So? Anyway, that's my... Oscar rant, but
we don't care. We don't talk about the Oscars anymore.
We don't talk about Oscars. No.
I didn't even mean to do a play on words there. Just don't talk about the Oscars anymore.
My apologies to Bruno. Surface Pressure number 9 on the Billboard charts, and all the other ones went up too. Most of them are in the top 40 now.
Wow.
Yep.
Good for Encanto.
Yep. So good for Encanto. Anyway, Carissa, what's your gripe?
Well, so I was watching... What was I watching? I don't remember what I was watching, but I saw a promo for Freeform, a Freeform show that's called... it's called Single Drunk Female.
Okay.
And, like, literally in the promo, she's talking about having sex.
And being a drunk female.
Yeah. Cool. And she's, like, in the store, like, in the show or whatever.
I want to watch that show. I heard it's
the one that I just said?
Yeah.
Oh.
When I saw the promo for it, I was like, oh, that's why I don't have any content on Disney Plus, because they're still throwing it at Freeform. So is Freeform like a Disney Channel situation where, like, the studio still exists and then they just kind of put stuff on TV and then that stuff is also on a streaming?
I think it's all
on Hulu. But it's all on Hulu? Yeah. So...
Well, I haven't looked into this entirely, but it's probably like an ABC or a Disney Channel situation where it is all Disney-owned, and they probably fund a lot of it, but they also probably just distribute a lot of it. Like, that might not even be a Disney-owned show. It might just be on...
Freeform?
On Freeform. Like, they might just distribute it on Freeform. Because, like, there's a lot of... there's ABC shows... That Disney did, like Modern Family. Disney didn't own Modern Family. That was a Fox show. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Fox produced it. They just aired it on ABC. I don't know why that is.
Huh.
How I Met Your Mother, also a Fox show that they aired on CBS.
CBS.
So, like, these studios, they just bounce around to whatever channel's willing to take
play
them.
It?
So it's entirely possible that that show is not actually owned by Disney. It might be. They might have produced it.
So Freeform doesn't make shows?
I believe they do, but I'm saying that a lot of their content might be. just distributed onto Freeform.
But you don't know for sure, so you're just talking.
Yes. Either way, it probably is going to just
anyways,
go up
on
Hulu.
Anyways, that's my gripe. My gripe is that it's on Hulu. And my gripe is that there's nothing like that on Disney Plus. That's my gripe.
Okay. You're lucky Freeform still exists.
I know.
It's Fox. It's 20th century.
Oh, that show?
Television. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm. So then it is. So Disney does own it.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That is interesting. Disney owns a lot of stuff. You'll never know. Anyway, does anybody else have any gripes that they would like to gripe about other than that?
I think that it's very weird that it's not really a gripe. But I do think it's quite weird that Judy and Nick are meeting at Sweethearts Night.
That is a gripe. Because that's fucking weird. They're not a couple.
They are not a couple.
Why are we putting them together? And not to mention, I know they got other costumes back there that can be paired as a couple. Hercules and Meg.
You gotta have the actors play them, though. Judy and Nick, you can put anybody.
I mean, that's true. That's true. Did they do all of the Fab Five? Yeah, I guess they did, right?
What Nikki's talking about is for the this month, there's going to be a few.
It's today, actually. It started today.
Oh, tonight. At Disneyland, they are doing after hours events throughout February called Sweethearts Night. It's basically like a Valentine's themed event. And they're doing meet and greets, or I guess sightings, whatever they call them now, where you can meet different Disney couples. Mickey and Minnie.
Can read them.
Go ahead. Most of them are pretty boring. There's a couple of interesting ones, though.
Okay. So we have Mickey and Friends in Town Square. In Tomorrowland Theater, we have Stitch and Angel.
Wait.
I sent this earlier. The fact that you didn't react then, I'm flicking you away.
I missed.
Kida and Milo, for some reason, Star Wars Launch Bay.
That makes sense where they put them.
Right. Snow White and the Prince is at the Wishing Well. Belle and Beast at Red Rose Tavern. Disneyland Theater is Sleeping Beauty and Tangled. Splash Mountain is Nick Wilde and Judy Hopps. And then New Orleans Square is The Princess and the Frog. And this one is for you, Caleb. The Rescuers.
Yes, Miss Bianca and Bernard are going to be meeting, which is very interesting. The thing that they like to do at these after-hour events, they like to bring out rare characters. That's why the Rescuers are there. That's why Milo and Kida are there. But what Nikki's saying is that it's weird that Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde from Zootopia are at the Sweetheart Nights because they are not a couple. I know that they're shipped quite frequently. Do not Google it. Please don't Google it.
Bad.
Just don't Google Judy Hopps in general. Just don't do that. Anyway.
You can't Google Judy Hopps.
I wouldn't.
No, you cannot.
I would not.
Even just a Google.
That rabbit has shapely hips, Carissa.
I'm going to. Shapely hips.
Oh my god, she's gonna do it.
I am gonna do it.
Told you.
Not recommended.
Well, okay, I haven't seen a single thing that is...
That's her butt right there.
Okay, but that's just like a frame from
Here's her naked.
She doesn't... They didn't draw boobs on her, though.
Here's
she's
her
just
as
naked.
Like a person.
Okay.
Here's her as Lola Bunny for some reason. Here's
you made her it seem like Sam I Theron. Literally could not. I was going to see a naked bunny with boobs and vagina and. Okay, her he's butt's out.
All right, well, definitely don't go to DeviantArt and do it. Anyway, goddammit.
Yeah.
My point is they're not a couple, and I understand that people ship them as a couple, but they are platonic in the movie. So it is weird for them to be at Sweetheart Nights.
It is.
I will say. It's very cool that Milo and Kida and Bernard and Bianca are meeting. They love to do these.
And Nick Grimes should be out.
Tarzan and Jane.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's
where are they?
There's weird rights things with Tarzan, because he used to meet in Animal Kingdom a lot, and then they just got rid of him.
I thought that was because women were being gross.
That's also possible.
I'm pretty sure
maybe
that's
they didn't
want to
do that
were
here.
Being gross.
Maybe they didn't want to do that here either.
But they're separated, so I don't know if women can be gross.
I mean, you could still be gross from afar.
That's true, but at least they're not,
they can't touch him. No, that's
well,
true.
Well, didn't... I think it was Jenny Nicholson who talked about on that one episode of Podcast The Ride how... when they first, introduced Jack Sparrow into the parks, women would, flash him. Because,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Because he, looks so much like Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I remember that.
Old women.
Which I cannot imagine now.
But I can't.
When I went
you
the first time.
You flashed Captain Jack Sparrow? Yeah.
No, when I went the first time for Halloween, there was a group of women before us, and literally the entire time, like, they were up there taking pictures with them, they took forever because they were screwing around, messing around, Jack was messing around with them. They were doing all kinds of stupid shit, and Cindy got pissed off. Because that shouldn't be going down in a Disney park, and I'm like, Jesus.
Ooh, people can't have fun.
I wonder, because I think about, specifically I'm thinking about Milo and Kida, and I'm sure it's a logistical thing that they can't, people love these rare character meet and greets, they post them on Instagram all the time, people get so excited for the rare meet and greets, that's half the reason people go to these,
like,
events.
After hours,
yeah,
events,
right,
yeah.
Like, I remember, like, Max dressed up as Powerline had like a 3-hour line.
Yeah, oh my god, people lost their ever loving minds.
And when they did Goofy and Donald in their Kingdom Hearts outfits, those had like 3-hour lines. So it's like,
I'd be in heaven.
I'm sure there's a logistical thing to why they don't bring them out more often, especially the face characters. You have to have somebody on staff who looks like Kida, and they might not have somebody on staff who looks like Kida all the time. I wonder what the thought process is. Like, maybe it just doesn't make sense. Not enough people know who Milo is, so why would we bring him out twice a week, you know?
Right.
It could also be, like, the costumes, too.
Right.
Like, there could only be one, and
yeah.
I don't know.
They're also doing little photo ops where, like, you can, like, there's going to be, like, a Lady and the Tramp photo op. There's supposed to be a Luca photo op, which is interesting, at Sweetheart Night.
Yeah, I want to know what that looks like.
Who's Sweetheart? Like,
it's probably just the same one.
Well, this is at Disneyland, though.
Well, yeah, but there was one at DCA.
Oh, you're talking about with the cat? Well, but why would it? I mean,
why would it be at Sweetheart Night?
I
though?
Mean, you're what right. You, because Italy is
romantic.
Romantic.
Because why would it be at Sweetheart
Night? Because fish love cats. Or cats love fish. That's my name. Cats love fish.
Cats love to eat fish.
I was insinuating, I'm just saying, the LGBT community has very latched on to Luca, so I'm saying
yeah, but
that
they're kids.
I know they're
so
kids.
So it's not really, like, appropriate.
It's not, and I don't think it's gonna be them. I wouldn't be surprised if Nikki's right, it's just there's no characters, it's just, like, a backdrop.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with thinking that there are undertones between the characters, like, that's fine, but I don't know, they're still children, so...
The photo op's not going to be them making out. Like, it's just going to be...
Right.
Trying to see if anybody has posted anything of it, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of people there tonight.
It would have literally just started, Nikki. It's 7. Well, I don't know if the park is open yet. Closed yet.
That's true.
And then it starts at 8.
It's so dark.
Yeah, I'm almost positive that it starts at 8. But...
Well, then we can all look at it later.
Okay. Well, if you're excited to meet everyone's favorite couple, Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde, there are 5 nights this month where you can do the Sweetheart Night. I don't have them written down because I was not prepared to talk about it, but you can.
This is why we never have parks news, because when we can talk about it, you don't want to.
There is no parks news. What would you like me to talk about?
I wanted you to talk about Judy
Sweetheart Night
Hopps and Nick Wilde.
We're talking about them right now.
Wow. Okay.
You're welcome, you're Caleb.
What was I gonna say?
I don't know, because you didn't say it.
Ding ding. Alright, moving on. Go ahead.
Thanks. Alright, like I said at the top, we don't have a lot of news. There is some interesting... I'm gonna talk about 2 series that are coming to Disney+. I think they're interesting, even though I don't particularly have a lot to say about them. Just the fact that they're coming is interesting. So Disney Plus announced that Snowdrop, the highly anticipated original drama series from Korea, will premiere on Disney Plus on February 9th in the United States. Snowdrop is a period drama that explores the forbidden love between a young couple trapped in a time of political turmoil. The 16-part series features Young Hyun, star of Tune In for Love and While You Were Sleeping, and Blackpink's Jisoo. When a blood-soaked man bursts into the dormitory of a woman's university in Seoul, Korea, Yoon young Ro will go against her better judgment and risk being expelled to hide the man from his attackers and tend to his wound. Unbeknownst to her, the man has a harrowing secret that threatens to put her friends and family's safety at risk, and the two young lovers will have to work together to overcome the obstacles. Snowdrop is a heartwarming fictional melodrama about a young couple in love, and as the story unfolds, find themselves enduring an unbearable pain that only rarely encounters in a lifetime. I hope global audiences find the heartfelt series also gripping and suspenseful as the two come to face their fates, said director Jo Hyun-tak. Snowdrop was among the top five most watched titles in the majority of APAC markets on Disney Plus in the first 5 weeks of the service. In the first 5 weeks of it on the service. I just think that's interesting.
So where is this coming from?
Korea.
So they bought it.
Yes, and it aired on Disney Plus in those regions. And now it is coming to the United States and Canada.
Oh, okay. Is this a cartoon or is it real?
It's a live action series.
Oh.
It's a drama.
Interesting.
About two young lovers in love, and one of them has a dark secret.
Yeah, I heard. Interesting.
Yeah. I think that's cool.
I think that's cool, too. I might actually watch it.
This one is also interesting.
When does it come? Sorry.
February 9th.
Oh, okay. So, just in time for Valentine's Day. Are they going to drop all 16 parts? Or
my guess is yes, but I don't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit.
Did you just turn it off?
I hope not. Nikki, talk.
Well.
What? Okay. Never mind. You're good.
No more technical issues. All right, I find this one potentially even more interesting. Disney Plus is in development on a new series based on the LGBT-themed sci-fi YA novel The Temperature of Me and You, The Hollywood Reporter has learned. The project, which is said to be a series, comes from a former studio executives Foster Driver and Zoe Kent. Written by Brian Zepic, the novel follows 16-year-old Dylan Highmark, who thought his winter was going to be full of boring shifts at the Dairy Queen until he finds himself in love with a boy who is literally too hot to handle. The novel hit shelves January 25th from the Disney Hyperion Book Distributors, is described as a story of first love, journey of trust and identity, and a ticking clock for survival.
Ticking clock for survival?
Well, because it's a sci-fi story. And
oh, so he's hot.
Like
he's physically hot.
Like he's physically, like yeah. His temperature is literally hot.
Chris Evans once played a man that was too hot.
Are you talking about the Human Torch?
Yeah.
Might be again, for all we know.
Sounds cute. Why was that other show not allowed to be on Disney Plus, but this was?
You're talking about Love, Victor? That's exactly what I was going to bring up, because that sure was a show that was going to be on Disney Plus that they moved to Hulu, because presumably because it was about gay lovers.
But the thing about Love, Victor is, I haven't seen it, but from what I've seen, it kind of seemed like there was a little bit more, like, going on in the show besides just the two of them. I feel like it was like maybe other scenes in it were more mature, or like it dealt with mature subject matter all around in the show, not just the two of them, right?
Probably.
That's what I got from that. This sounds like you can Disney-fy it. Because it's sci-fi. Is it going to be a cartoon or a real?
I assume it's going to be live action, but I don't know. I would assume live action.
It's already done? They're about to drop it?
No.
Oh.
The book just came out.
Oh.
They said they're going to make a series based on
it. Oh, so in like 5 years.
Yeah, it'll be a while, but it's coming.
Oh, thanks for telling me.
It's a step in the right direction.
God, they're like, them and Universal are just like polar opposites.
Oh, we'll get to Universal.
You know, just Universal's already got tracks at their new theme park, and they haven't even announced that exists. And they're just not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney, on the other hand, we're thinking about making this book into a TV series. Like, just do it. And you don't got to tell us every little thing, you know?
The article that I got this from the Design Insider, they pointed out that when Disney purchased Blue Sky Studios and recently shut them down, Blue Sky Studios was about, I want to say, like 60% done with a movie. I think it's called Nimona. It might not. That might be the wrong name. But it was supposed to be an animated film where the lead character was gay. And Disney canceled it. They scrapped it when they bought Blue Sky Studios. So just interesting how they're going in a, I don't know. I wonder what's changing at the company. Mm. My guess is they want a bigger audience on their platform.
Yeah.
But, anyway, we'll see. I think both of these shows are a good shift in terms of the kind of content coming to Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Boba Fett and Monsters, Inc. spinoff.
Is Boba Fett done?
No. No, there's still three episodes left.
Oh.
You would think that it was, you would think that it was done after last week's episode didn't even have Boba Fett in it, but...
The way that you just said that does not fill me with...
What?
Like...
If it was to stop, if it was done already, nothing happened. It would have been a show where nothing happened.
Yeah, literally, it hasn't done much.
Nothing has happened.
Told you it looked boring. Told you. Told you.
They keep saying,
I mean, I knew you were going to watch it one way or another, but it looked, the first episode was really boring.
It just had some weird, it's got weird pacing issues. The first two episodes could have been one episode.
Yeah.
He just seems kind of boring too himself, so.
I think they've
that's got... a lot of people say that I've heard anyway.
To be honest, Carissa, right now you sound like Nikki.
Why?
Talking about how boring Boba Fett is.
Oh.
Can't help that he's boring.
Well, I don't think his design is boring. I just think he's boring. The guy that they got to play him.
That's Boba Fett. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, they should have changed
no,
him.
No, I think he's fine.
Why couldn't they pick someone young and hot? You know?
Because he's not young and hot in this part of the story.
Well, they should have picked someone young.
He's Boba Fett. That's Tamara Morrison.
Not bald.
I will not hear this slander. His performance is fine.
I will not hear this slander.
His performance is fine, especially when he's being all funny with the Rancor. It's the...
It's like side chick's not even hot either. She's not hot either.
Ming-Na Wen?
Yeah, I don't think she's that.
What?
Ming-Na Wen is amazing. Oh, you are looking stupid.
Are you going to Google her?
Yes, I'm Googling Ming-Na Wen because you're incorrect.
In the show, I'm sure she looks fine when she's in a normal clothing. No, I just... No, she doesn't do it for me. She didn't do it for me. Okay. Sorry.
All right, fine. You're wrong.
Does she do it for you?
I think...
That's interesting.
I think Ming-Na Wen is attractive for her age, yes.
How old is she?
She's in her 50s, I
believe. Oh, she 50s, is? Oh, 55, well, damn. I guess 55. She does look pretty fucking good for somebody in her 50s.
I looked it up the other day.
How old did you say?
She's 58.
Like 50... Oh, 58.
Wow. Okay, I mean, I guess she looks pretty damn good for almost 60. Yeah. So, all right. I mean, okay. Anyways.
I'm just saying you're wrong. I like both of them. They just haven't been given a lot to do.
I'm just saying, if something's going to be boring as fuck, then I want to be able to look at something nice looking. That's all I'm saying. All
right. Well, I'm just saying the majority of people watching this are men in their 40s who are mad that Boba Fett isn't as cool as he was in the original movies, even though he only had 5 lines. Anyway.
I was going to say, cool. He was barely there. Yes. I watched him one of the movies he was in. He didn't do much.
Yes.
Then.
No.
So why'd you expect him to do much now?
Because, I don't know. I saw a funny tweet that was like, I can't believe all these guys who are mad that Boba Fett isn't as cool as he looks on their tattoo.
Stop.
Here's a rad Boba Fett. He's playing clarinet. That's what I would get tattooed.
Yes. I like elements of the show, but it is a problem that the best episode was not only episode 5, but it's the episode that Boba Fett's not in at all. It's about a different Mandalorian. Which, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's not what we're supposed to be talking about.
Just, like, pick up right where he left off?
Mando, yeah.
Interesting.
It's basically leading into Mandalorian. It's basically, it might as well be the season 3 premiere for the Mandalorian, that episode.
Wow.
Anyway. All right, here's our Disney Parks news. Are you ready? I hope you're excited.
So excited.
Walt Disney World Resort and Disneyland Resort invite guests to celebrate soulfully with experiences that honor Black History Month and pay tribute to Black heritage and culture through music, food, art, and more. Celebrate Soulfully is back for a second consecutive year with new and returning offerings at Walt Disney World Resort throughout the year. And for the first time, Celebrate Soulfully is introduced at Disneyland Resort with experiences in February and beyond. Celebrate Soulfully will include musical performances throughout the resorts featuring genres such as gospel, jazz, Motown, R&B, reggae, and funk that spotlight black talent. Guests can discover celebratory eats inspired by black stories and new dishes brought to life by black chefs at select locations throughout Walt Disney World Resort. And across Walt Disney World Resort, Cooking with Soul featured menu items will spotlight soul food dishes and the talented chefs who create them, as well as Creole-inspired dishes in the Disneyland Resort. Guests can also be immersed in the art and exhibits that celebrate the work of black artists and visionaries at locations across Walt Disney World Resort and Disneyland Resort. You can check out the Disney Parks blog for more details and descriptions on the offerings, as well as locations for the various performances, pieces, and food.
That's cool.
It is cool. Must not be that cool. You just yawned right through it. That's it? That's all you got?
Yeah. I'm going to be there in 15 days. I'll check it out.
Okay.
I'll check it out and report back to the podcast.
Did you say where it was going to be at?
All over the parks.
Yeah, it said all over.
There's not as much in Disneyland as there is in Walt Disney World.
Well, yeah, because Disney World is doing, like, all of Disney Springs, right?
Yeah. There's going to be stuff in Downtown Disney, including, like, live performances, but...
Yeah, I don't love live music, so I won't be doing that part, but...
Boring. You're boring. All right, last thing. Last news story before I get to a little discussion I want to have. This is so exciting. You're going to be so excited. It's about toys. Toy company Mattel is taking the toy rights to the Disney Princess line after losing the rights to produce Disney Princess and Frozen dolls after losing the rights to produce Disney Princess and Frozen dolls to Hasbro in 2014. According to the Wall Street Journal, starting in 2023, Mattel will release a wide range of dolls inspired by Disney animated classics Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Brave, Cinderella, The Little Mermaid, Mulan, Pocahontas, The Princess and the Frog, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, Tangled, and Frozen. They will also develop dolls for upcoming Disney projects such as Moana the series, Tiana, and Disney's live-action adaptations of The Little Mermaid and Snow White. By adding this new licensing deal, Mattel builds on its existing licensing relationship with Disney for Pixar Animation Studios, Toy Stories, and Cars franchises, as well as the recently announced global licensing agreement for Lightyear, which hits theaters in June. So that means that Mattel, makers of Barbie, will be making Disney Princess dolls. Big deal.
Nice.
That is a big deal. What's the discussion?
Wow, you want to just move on from this story already?
Oh, I thought it was to do with that.
No.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's
first.
Yeah, I wanted to get this out of the way first.
That's really cool.
It's mostly a boring thing.
That's cool. I mean, if you had told me who had made the dolls, I would not have known. So.
Currently, it's Hasbro.
Well, now Mattel will own the whole aisle in Target. Because, you know, it's Barbie on one side and Disney on the other. Now they'll own they'll make everything on both sides. Have to say, Barbie, as someone who has a lot of Barbie toys from the 90s, they just do not make shit like they used to. I mean, that's everywhere, but some of the stuff is just really, like, it's embarrassing.
Yes.
They're just cheap. So. I gotta crank it out.
Yeah. But that's cool. That's cool. I love Barbie.
Yep. I don't know. This is a slow news week. What do you want out of me?
Hey, well, we haven't really... It hasn't even been a week since we recorded,
yeah,
so
it's because... Watch, a million things are going to happen in the next couple days. It's just because we're recording 2 days after we recorded the last one.
Yeah.
Mattel's line of Pixar toys is really cool. They're doing a lot of cool stuff with the Pixar line, so...
Bunch of toys you don't need.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
But they're cool anyway. They made that Rocky Gibraltar figure. I have a Rocky Gibraltar figure. I've wanted a Rocky Gibraltar figure since I was a kid.
Rocky, like Rocky Rocky?
No, Rocky, like from Toy Story Rocky.
Oh, who? I don't know.
He's in here somewhere.
I can't put a face to the name.
I thought you were staring at it. That's why you said it.
Oh, this guy.
This guy. He's the buff guy with the blue hair. He's in the background of like three things.
I figured it was the buff guy.
Yeah.
He's just a background character, but, like, who makes an action figure of just, like, a random background character? I think that's
Well,
all.
You have one, so now you don't ever need to buy
I've
another one.
I wanted one for literal decades, so I'm very Why? Happy to have one. Because I just liked all the background characters in Toy Story. I want the robot and the snake, too.
I want him to be a Funko Pop.
They will... Well, maybe. I don't think they will.
Never gonna happen.
No. I'm just saying. If I... Anyway. All right. Sorry. This podcast is out of control. Moving on. So, this is the brief little discussion that I want to have before we get to our movie. Earlier in the week, Universal Studios announced that their third theme park for their Florida resort, Epic Universe, will be opening in... Or they want it open by summer 2025.
Why was this in Parks News? I'm just kidding. I never recorded you.
Continue. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Continue. Continue the discussion since you want to...
I just saw your reaction. It was funny. Go ahead. Sorry. I threw off your groove. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, Universal Studios is moving full steam ahead with their third gate. I guess they consider it their fourth gate, but Volcano Bay is a water park. Not a fourth gate. Not a third gate. Anyway... Epic Universe is supposed to be a very ambitious, very big theme park. A lot of people are very excited for it. And Universal has all the money in the world to continue to improve their theme parks because they are owned by Comcast, a telecom, who have made more money during the pandemic than most people will ever make. So... I guess what I wanted to talk about here is... With Epic Universe on the way in 2025, what does Walt Disney World have to do to compete with Epic Universe? Within the next 3 years, what does Walt Disney World have to do? Because I think in 2025, when that park opens, whether it becomes a permanent shift or not, I think it's going to eat a huge chunk of the audience.
Huge chunk.
For... Orlando. And I want to throw it to you guys. What would you want Disney to do? What do you think they should do to compete with Universal Studios?
Open Tron.
Yes, Brady.
One ride.
I think by then I don't even know if that ride will be open, so
one ride versus a whole park.
Yes. I don't know. I don't think they can put a fifth gate.
No, they absolutely won't do a fifth gate. I think they need, and this is bare minimum, I think either in 2024 or 2025, I think they basically need a new thing at each park.
I think they need a new land at each park.
A whole new land?
A whole new land. Like, I will
After
say...
After Galaxy's Edge,
I will good. Say, yeah, I know. I will say that I think that, like, for instance... Animal Kingdom, it doesn't necessarily have to be an entire new world. It could be an extension to Pandora, or it could be Dino Land. Make that something better, add a ride there. Magic Kingdom, again, it doesn't necessarily have to be something completely new, but they should expand on something. If they can't expand, then they should do something new. Epcot's hard because it's got a lot going on. But, like, for Epcot, again, they don't necessarily have to build a whole new land. But if they could put a attraction in each pavilion, I think that would add to it a lot. And then for Hollywood Studios, oh, my God, that one needs a new land. It needs to be extended.
It just got two.
I know, but it's not enough. It's not enough. I can't even imagine going to that park before Toy Story and... Galaxy's Edge, and we did. We went there. Yes, that's crazy. What did we do? We didn't do anything there. We didn't do much, but...
All right, here's what you do. Since you can't put a new gate, you redo a gate. Hollywood Studios 4.2, whole new gate, and it's just going to be Muppet Studios.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Thanks.
I thought it was really going with
Everything else that's in Muppet, I mean, in Hollywood Studios can just go. I don't give a shit it has the newest shit. Just, it can all go.
Wow.
No, that part just needs to be completely redone somehow.
It's already been redone. They've been redoing it for a decade.
Shut up.
The problem is Disney is too slow. They're too slow. They would have to start now to get something going for all of these parks. And I just don't think they'll do it. I don't know if maybe they just don't find Universal to be a threat or what. But, like, there has not been a fire lit under these guys' ass to finish anything. Like,
but here's the thing. The parks have never been more crowded.
I know.
So they don't have to. Like, I mean, I guess I get it to a certain extent. If I had so many people coming to my park as is, no matter what, like, I wouldn't be, you know, necessarily ready to throw money at something new anyway, or, you know, either. So, I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, we're over here bitching about Tron, but they've got fucking 50 other thousand people that are trying to come in every day. So I think that, honestly, I think that they should think about their response now, but I honestly don't think they are. They're not going to be thinking about it until 2025.
I don't think, maybe it's current management, maybe it's arrogance. I don't know what
it is. Arrogance.
I don't know what it is, but I don't think they're prepared for how fucking popular Epic Universe is going to be.
I think they're underestimating it, because I think that they don't think that there is going to be that pull, but I think they just don't. I think it is arrogance too, though, like you said. I think they're just not worried about it.
Like,
But they have to be, because he moved the Imagineers over there.
Of course.
He has to have something planned to have them, like, oh no, all of you guys come over here, you know?
Right, and Harry Potter scared them a lot.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they realize the scale of it. The thing is like, I see more and more people in the Disney community all the time talking about how much better Universal Studios Florida is than Walt Disney World right now. They find, like, the service better. They find just the price better. They find the amount of stuff to do better. And, you know, they... I'm sorry?
No reservations.
Right. They just, it's, there's a shift happening, at least in terms of, like, people out that way. And, I mean, maybe it's my own biases, but, like, I don't think I don't think Disney is prepared for Nintendo, especially if these rumors that they're gonna fast track something Pokemon to open with Epic Universe. I don't think Disney is prepared for how popular that's going to be. On top of the fact that there's these rumors of the super cool monsters ride, another Harry Potter themed land. Like, I just don't think
that was one of my questions. Was, is Harry Potter getting an expansion in the third game?
Yes, of course it is.
We just don't know what it is.
I figured it was a yes, but I just thought I'd ask.
I know,
well, because it's either going to be Ministry of Magic or it's going to be Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, it was rumored to be Fantastic Beasts.
That's what I thought.
That's right.
But,
that's right.
But also, we've heard rumors that because the second Fantastic Beasts didn't do good, and the third one probably going to do even worse, there's rumors that they're all trying to, like, make it not explicitly Fantastic Beasts. Like, there's rumors of, like, a Ministry of Magic thing where it takes you from, like, the one in Fantastic Beasts and the one in Harry Potter. Like, there's two. Because there's, like, a French ministry in the Fantastic Beasts movies, I believe. And, like, Harry Potter's stock has definitely gone down quite a bit recently because of, you know, J.K. Rowling being the worst. But, like, it's still one of the biggest franchises ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to be a huge draw. Mm-hmm. And Nintendo's even bigger than Harry Potter. Like, worldwide, Nintendo is Nintendo. Especially Pokemon. So, like...
Yeah, the thing is, too, Orlando, if it has Pokemon, Donkey Kong, and Mario,
it's definitely opening.
It's going to be the only one that has all three.
Unless they fast track in Japan.
Yeah.
Because Donkey Kong is opening in Japan in 2024.
Oh, okay.
So, unless they fast track a Pokemon, because the Pokemon stuff doesn't start. They just got the license. So then Pokemon is going to premiere in the parades this year in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be, like, a smaller Pokemon, like, interactive thing open. And they don't have anything Nintendo planned for 2023. So unless they fast track a Pokemon thing in there, But
you know what they need to bring to the U.S. parks? Duffy. There you go.
Boom. Yeah, Duffy.
That would be a craze. That would be insane.
Duffy will save the parks. They tried Duffy here. It didn't work.
Yeah, but it would work now.
That is true. We did have Duffy for a minute at before Knick Knack was Knick Knack.
I wonder if they're gonna... I don't feel like they can afford to wait, but I wonder if they're just gonna wait and see.
Absolutely.
And then try to
see how it plays out.
Right, and then try to figure it out from there.
The other thing about it, too, is that they don't have anything else. Like, there's no, like, new property that they can acquire and bring into the parks that's going to have the same effect as Nintendo. Like, they already have it. They did it with Star Wars. And, like, I mean, Star Wars is fine, but, like, honestly, like, even back in 2019, before we knew so much about Epic Universe, it was pretty lackluster. And now that time has gone on, it's even more so. And the thing that everybody was excited about was this hotel. And now this hotel's proving to not be as
well. It hasn't
great as
it hasn't proven anything yet. It's not open. I think they are relying on that hotel a lot, though.
But the thing is, like, what is the response? Like, you know, I'm in favor of new rides and them putting rides in, but there's nothing that's going to make as big as impact as Nintendo.
I think one of our biggest issues is with Disney in Florida is, yeah, we just brought in Star Wars, we just brought in Avatar.
You can't bring in Marvel.
What our biggest issue is we can't use Marvel, which is one of our biggest assets, and we can't use The Simpsons, which is one of our biggest assets. That's where we lose. Because two of our biggest assets, Universal has.
I agree with half of that. The thing that what they need is Marvel. That's the biggest thing that they can get. Because I don't think they're going to want to branch out outside of their properties anymore. I think they're just they're going to want to own whatever is in the park.
Right, right, yeah.
I think Avatar was the last of it, and now they own Avatar, so, like, it doesn't matter. They definitely want Marvel. And I have to wonder if maybe, once Epic Universe opens, if it's a huge hit and suddenly Universal is making double the money from the parks they were making before, would they feel comfortable in eventually giving Disney back Marvel? Because I don't think they would want to get rid of Marvel, especially not now. They're not going to want to lose that license.
Yeah. The thing is, though, I don't think that they would give them back Marvel. I just don't see that happening.
I
know we've talked about this a little bit earlier today, but I don't know. I don't see it happening. I don't think that
they're not going to want their competitor to have
the
biggest franchise in the world.
Literally. Like, that's the one thing that they have that they don't have. Aside from all the new things like Nintendo and stuff, like, that's the one thing that I think would have a big impact, but I don't see them giving it back. Like, why would you? Like, you spent however many years trying to get ahead of your competitor who, even when Epic Universe opens, is still going to have people lining up to get into Disney parks. Like, why would you give them back something, you know?
Right.
Especially because what Universal wants to do is they want to do what Disney has done for 50 years and be the vacation destination that you remember and that you go to with your kids.
Right.
And they already kind of lack that right now because you can't really take your kids there. There's not that much for kids to do. So if they add a land where you can take your kids to, and Mario is a little bit more like, you know, it's kind of ageless. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. You're probably, you know, they're of all ages can enjoy it.
Right.
So I don't think that I don't see them giving up that one thing either.
The thing that I will say about Marvel, the things that I think could potentially help Disney in terms of getting Marvel,
that contract has to end at some point, right?
It's the way I'll talk about that in a second. The way the contract works is weird because Universal made that contract with Marvel when Marvel was basically about to go bankrupt. They were desperate, so they basically gave them an infinite contract.
There's no way. There has to be an end date.
There's not. For Marvel, I don't think there is.
That seems weird.
Anyway, the thing is, though, they can't expand Marvel. They can't do anything else with Marvel. They just have to upkeep what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So Marvel is getting older. That park's 20 years old now. The only thing I can see is, like, maybe eventually the other parks just, they maybe outgrow Marvel and they want that space for something else. And they want to update it to something newer. And also, another thing is, unlike the Marvel contract, the Simpson contract does have a hard date. They lose the rights to the Simpsons in 2028. They signed a 20-year deal for the Simpsons.
That's interesting.
And the only way for them to keep the Simpsons is if Disney re-ups the contract. So, what if Disney said you can keep the Simpsons if we get Marvel?
Yeah.
Is that a deal that Universal would be willing to make? Because I know that The Simpsons is incredibly popular on Disney Plus, but I don't know that Disney's going to want to invest a bunch of money in putting The Simpsons in the parks.
I don't think they would, but
I think
I know it's popular on Disney Plus, but
I think if they get the rights back to The Simpsons, they'll find a way to work them into the parks somehow. But I don't think that...
But not in, like, a whole land way.
No, it's not going to be a Marvel situation. But I guess my thing is like, well, what's more valuable to Universal?
Right.
Because either way, they're losing something. Because The Simpsons, it ends in 2028, and I don't think Disney's going to re-up that contract.
No, I don't think so either.
Not unless they get something in return.
God, can you imagine, like, what that area is going to look like when they have to, like, strip the Simpsons out of there?
They're going to have to rebuild a whole new area.
Is there a Simpsons?
There's a Springfield in both.
There is?
Huh. That's where they have the games and stuff.
The Boardwalk Games, and then they have the Simpsons Ride. And they have Moe's Tavern and Krusty Burger and everything. That's all here.
Oh, I don't know what they have there. Here. Over there, is it the same Simpsons Ride?
Yeah, it's the same Simpsons, right?
Because ours was something else before.
And they were both Back to the Future.
Both of them. Oh, that's stupid.
Do they have... They have it bigger, though, than we do, right?
Their land is bigger, yes.
Thought so.
But, like, it would be a lot...
Ours is a decent size.
Right, it would be a lot to have to change, because they're whole lands. They're not just a ride. It's a whole land they have to destroy.
Yeah.
And if the contract ends in 2028... They would have to try to figure that out before then, because, like, what are you going to do? Demolish it in 2028 and have it sit for 3 years empty? They would have to start working,
when you just invested all this money in a new theme park.
Yeah.
And just got other people to start coming to your parks. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's something that will keep things interesting.
But I think Marvel is the only thing that they could get. And it would have to be something big for Marvel. It couldn't just be the Spider-Man ride. It would have to be...
Yeah.
Iron Man roller coaster.
I mean, it seems... I mean, Hollywood Studios is where they keep putting everything new, but kind of, yeah, you kind of... I feel like you do put Marvel in Hollywood Studios. You turn Rock and Roller Coaster into an Iron Man roller coaster. There's a part of me that, in my conspiracy theory brain, that thinks the only reason Rock and Roller Coaster hasn't been rethemed yet is because they are holding on to it for Marvel. Like, they have it earmarked for, like, when we get a Marvel thing we can put in here.
How are you going to have the Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy back there with Marvel
stuff? That goes away. Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. I know, but it's like a small little black box theater. They can take the animatronic out and put it somewhere else.
They better.
That's the only complicated thing in there, is the animatronic. Mm. Otherwise, it's just a building.
Oh, okay.
I'm still mad I didn't get to do that.
They don't even have proper seats. They're benches.
Like, I mean, that's true.
They can get rid of literally anything in that building at any time. So, I don't know. I guess Eternals roller coaster? They can use the Eternal.
Oh my god.
I guess
we'll find out in a few years.
Epic Universe is interesting, and I'm so excited to see how it plays out in the next few years, because I think Disney's been sitting on their laurels, and, like, that feels weird to say, because, like, within the past 5-6 years, they've opened Pandora, Galaxy's Edge, like, they've opened Frozen, like, all this cool stuff, but, like...
We're gonna get Tron eventually in 2025 as well.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, if not Marvel, if not a Fifth Gate, they would have to put something new in every single park other than what we already know about. It would have to be, like, new. It couldn't just be from another park.
Yeah.
Like Tron or Ratatouille. It would have to be new.
Yeah. Like, from the ground up.
Yes. Anyway, I feel like they need to do a lot with Epcot. Like, I really want them to do something to Journey into Imagination.
Oh, Inside Out, please.
They need to... That.
Yeah, we hate IP. Yeah. Oh, except in Kanto. We can have that.
The Mary Poppins thing needs to come back on the table.
Oh, Mary Poppins, dude, that works. We just hate Inside Out.
No, they hate Guardians of the Galaxy.
They hate it until they ride it, just like our Guardians.
Luca boat ride in Italy.
Yes.
Coco in Mexico.
Oh, no.
What? Why no?
They would. Just because they don't have a room.
Oh, they definitely don't have the room.
They'd have to make the...
They'd have to change
queue
the
queue outside.
Yeah.
Of the building.
They'd have to figure that out.
Yeah.
They'd have to change everything.
But, like, I feel like it would have to be... If they were going to do stuff like that, it would have to be... multiple attractions, because like one little dark ride like a Ratatouille, it's not gonna bring
no
attention. It has to be an e-ticket, or it has to be a lot of things,
like 50 new things.
50 new cupcakes,
50 new attractions.
Anyway,
there's your marketing, Disney. 50 more years of magic and you'll have 50 new things to celebrate that.
I do want to make a comment that I guess somebody posted that they saw that there was an area set up at Animal Kingdom, like what Maribel was meeting and greeting at.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Oh, you did talk about it?
We talked about it last week.
Yeah, Matt said that last episode.
We talked about it in the last episode.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that, you know, there's that. But then I remember somebody else getting really upset on there about them. Somebody suggested putting Encanto in Mexico.
My Encanto's not. It's Colombian.
It's not even the same.
Yeah, it's different country.
That was the point. They were like, oh my god, you have to be kidding me.
Well, I've seen people say put Encanto in Animal Kingdom.
I've seen that too, and people were not happy about it.
Why?
Because it's not about animals.
Oh, but it's... There's a lot of animals in the movie, though.
For like a second.
I mean, I don't see the problem with it.
I've seen suggestions...
Wouldn't you rather it be somewhere than it be nowhere?
Because you can put it in like a jungle-y setting and like kind of hide the house in like the jungle. Mm-hmm. Make it a Mystic Manor style dark ride. I don't know.
Oh, you're talking about a whole attraction. I thought we were just talking about like a meet and greet.
Oh, no. The meet and greet will probably be in Animal Kingdom or Epcot, I would assume, but... I'm talking about like a whole attraction. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Only time will tell.
Yep. I'm excited to see where this all goes. D23 is later this year. I'm kind of expecting nothing from D23 this year.
Yeah, me too.
Or an opening date for Tron, and that's it.
I think that this year, the main thing that we're going to get is that huge rumor about that overhaul for Tomorrowland.
Oh, to be more Tron like?
No, they were just gonna spend like $600 million on it or something.
Which Tomorrowland? Ours or theirs?
Ours, yeah.
Ours?
You don't remember?
I don't think we're getting ours anytime soon.
Well, that was the huge rumor that broke on the day of D23.
There's been rumors of a Tomorrowland redo for 10 years though.
Well, I saw a lot of rumors.
It's not happening.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that that's...
Our poor Tomorrowland is going to rot forever.
I think that is... God, can you imagine if they brought back our People Mover? Oh my god. People will lose their shit.
I would cry on it. I will be on it crying. They just came out, I meant to send it the other day, they came out with new Tomorrowland merchandise at our Disneyland. And there's a People Mover shirt I wanted.
It's so funny how our stuff will have the People Mover on it. Because it's like, it hasn't been in the parks for...
30 years.
Yeah. So long.
Yeah, but most people remember it.
All right, well, like I've said 100 times now, we'll see. But we have to move on to our featured film discussion for the week, since we are doing Celebrate Black Stories all this month.
And now, our feature presentation.
We got the film Hidden Figures.
I haven't been late one day in 10 years. Haven't been out sick, haven't complained. My work's on time, it's done right, it's done well.
It's not fair, that's a fact.
What's not fair is having the responsibility of a supervisor, but not the title or the pay. I'm watching you two move on. Now, don't get me wrong. Any upward movement is movement for us all. It just isn't movement for me.
Truth be told, Dorothy, I don't even know if I can keep up in that room. I'll be back with the computers in the week, or out of a job entirely.
Oh, please. You're better with the numbers than anyone in there, Catherine, and you know it. Just make that pencil move as fast as your mind does. You'll be fine. And you, have some respect. Get your damn feet off my dashboard. This isn't your living room. I sound like a supervisor, don't I?
A mean old salty one, riddled with authority, no question.
You don't mess with Mrs. Vaughn.
Turn that music up.
So, spoiler alert for Hidden Figures. Let's read the description from Disney Plus. The incredible untold true story of Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughn, and Mary Jackson, brilliant African-American women working at NASA, who served as the brains behind one of the greatest operations in history, the launch of astronaut John Glenn into orbit. This stunning achievement galvanized the world and inspired generations to dream big. Released in 2016, directed by Theodore Melfi, starring Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, Janelle Monáe, Kevin Costner, Kirsten Dunst, Jim Parsons, and others. Hidden Figures. What did we think of Hidden Figures? Carissa, what did you think of Hidden Figures?
I liked it.
Okay.
I've always wanted to watch this movie. I remember when it came out, and I was like, really wanted to watch it. So I'm glad that we got it, because I've always wanted to see it. I didn't know what it was about. So I went into it like completely like, oh, it's about NASA? Like, about them, about the space guys? That's cool. I did like it. I think it's an important movie that people should watch. But I have to say I was a little bit underwhelmed with quite a few things. I was a little bit underwhelmed with some of the performances.
I thought all the performances were great.
I think, well, the three main ladies, loved them. Everybody else, not
great. Oh, really?
Great.
I thought Kevin Costner was good.
Yeah,
he was. I was about to say, I loved Kevin Costner.
Okay, so you know how earlier you were saying, like, that people criticize this film for the...
You can't say, you know how earlier, when I haven't said it in the podcast.
I just said it. I was saying it. So earlier you said that the film was criticized for having some white savior complex.
I was going to get to this later, but yes, things. Go on.
Okay, well, because you just brought it up, so you're asking me what I
didn't
think.
Bring it up in the podcast yet, though. Anyway,
I know,
go
but
on.
Well, that it has to pertains to him.
Okay, go on.
So, I think that a lot of the choices were interesting. The thing about him is he's just a little too nice. And, like, it doesn't really make sense why he's so nice, because, like, when she first goes to, like, work for him, he, like, the lady tells her, like, oh, he's not gonna warm up to you, like, he's a dick, and then he proceeds to, like, never be a dick to her. And, like, he didn't necessarily have to be a dick to her because he's racist, they built him up to be, like, a hard ass, and he's, like, running NASA, so he's, like, under a lot of pressure, and I just felt like he could have been more of a dick. And they could have built that relationship more. And I don't know, so every time his character was on screen, I just felt like he was just too nice. And I didn't, like, buy him.
I don't think he was that nice.
I don't know. That's just how I felt about his performance in general for the movie.
I thought he was really good. I thought he was good. Really? I don't know. Kevin Costner's a good actor. I thought he was good in the role. I mean, I don't see how anybody else would have played it any differently, given what he was given.
That's the thing. Like, I think anybody else could have done that. But, okay. I don't think he did anything different or anything special.
I think he did well for the role that he was given.
Okay.
I think it was a good movie, but I do think it was a little boring.
It was like...
That's all historical movies.
But I feel like when you're dealing with something like this, like, they were literally breaking down barriers, like, as Black women, and they could have taken it a little bit further. They could have shown us a little bit more of, like, how dangerous a time it was for Black people. How really, like, the things that they were up against, like, I feel like they could have taken it a little bit further.
In that element, in that regard, yes, I suppose. But my whole thing about, like, oh, it was boring. Well, she does math. What did you want this movie to be? I mean, she does math, and the other one works with computers. Like, I don't understand what you wanted.
Well, you some exciting think that action because they segment? Are Black women, and one of them, if not all of them, is still alive. So she could tell them, you know what?
I don't think they're alive anymore. It literally said she was 97.
Yeah, I think they're all dead now.
Oh, well, she took a picture with...
Yeah, she was alive at the time, and I believe she did talk to them.
So she was alive, yeah. So I'm saying she could have gone into detail about some of the things that she had to deal with. I'm just saying, like, compared to, like, I just think they could have delved deeper into that part of it.
They were more so worried about the, like, history of them at NASA more than they were about the racial elements. I mean, that's there, obviously. Also, this movie was directed and written by white people, so right. I think that's also part of the problem.
Yeah, well, that's obviously why they didn't focus on those parts as much.
When you're talking about it being boring, I just don't exactly know. I didn't think it was boring.
I didn't necessarily think it was boring. Nikki said that. I just said that I felt like they could have delved more into certain things.
That's most movies about race, unfortunately.
Okay. Do you want my opinion, or do you want to tell me why I'm wrong to have this opinion?
I do want your opinion, but I don't know. I guess I don't completely agree. That's
and again,
all.
Nikki said it was boring, not me.
Well, I'm disagreeing with her, too. Anyway, I liked all the performances. I don't know why Octavia Spencer was the one chosen to be nominated for the Oscar over any of the other actors in this movie.
Yeah, I think even Janelle Monáe did a better job.
For sure.
You said what, Nikki?
It should have been Taraji P. Henson.
For sure.
She even has like her Oscar moment when she like yells at him in the room.
Oh, that's so good.
About the coffee pot.
That scene was amazing.
How she was just soaking wet.
Right. That's that's her big Oscar moment, and that's his come to Jesus moment, I guess. I don't know. His like
white savior moment.
Right. Which was
as they said on the Wikipedia.
Yes. Like Krista mentioned, there was some criticism for this movie because that character that Kevin Costner plays is not a person from history. He's not a real person. They made that character up, and not that there wasn't any racial issues that these women had to go through. Obviously, being Black in the 50s, there was obviously racial stuff they went through all the time. A lot of the like overcoming racism stuff that they put in this movie didn't happen. Right. Her having to travel to a different colored bathroom, that wasn't real. There were no colored bathrooms on the premises. She apparently used a normal bathroom for 2 years before she even realized that it was that she wasn't supposed to be in it.
I just think that was a really weird choice to go with to like illustrate that and to make it where he like does something to like help the situation. I don't know, because at the end of the day, he still was working from a selfish place because he was just like, oh, she's just not working enough. Like, he doesn't really care that she has to walk so far to go to the bathroom. He's just like, you should be working more. Like,
I know, but I think it's supposed to be seen as him like starting to understand her more because she just yelled at him about the coffee pot and about that. And throughout the rest of the movie, he's much more respectful to her.
For the pearls.
Right. It was his idea to give her the pearls, right? Mm. Nikki's right. And he invites her in to see the launch, which that never happened. She was never invited into the room to see the launch, even though it was her numbers that saved the day. Fixing the numbers was historically accurate. John Glenn did ask for her specifically to go over the numbers. But apparently she had more than an hour to figure it out. She had several days to fix the issue.
See, that's fine. Like, changing something like that to make it a little bit more interesting, like, that's a good choice. Because it all made sense. Yeah. I don't like that we had her in the room in the movie when she really wasn't allowed to be in the room, because it's like...
Well, you're skirting the issue there.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, yeah, see, she helped launch a rocket, but they still wouldn't let her watch it. Like, what the fuck? Like,
well, that's the thing that it's... That's sort of the greater conversation to have here, is like, especially because it was directed by a white man and written by a white man and a white woman. Whether, obviously, I don't think the people who made this movie are racist or anything, but like, they had to have that like nice white character in there to remind you that, yeah, like, oh, we're not all bad,
and
right?
He wasn't even real.
Right. Well,
so it's like, you literally made this guy out of thin air to like...
They didn't want to
make a nice white person.
Right.
Like,
they didn't want the white audience to have to deal with the reality that, yeah, white people were shitheads. Yeah. And like, that is a problem.
I think that's why I don't like his character. Cause it's just from jump, I had a feeling about it being disingenuine, and it really was, because it's not even
a real person.
Yeah. It's not even real.
The one guy though that was really in it, the Polish guy that told Mary she should apply, was real. It was based off of person.
I wish he was in it more. I thought that he was going to be important when he gives her his big, like, Polish man.
I'm a Polish Jew. Yeah. That was great.
I thought that was going to be, like, a big important thing, and it wasn't. He was only in, like, two more scenes.
I thought that that whole thing, their whole exchange and their dynamic and everything was good.
Mary didn't have to go to a judge. She just asked the city to let her take classes, and they let her.
Which is interesting, because that scene is so powerful. And it kind of shows... I mean, I liked it, because I liked the juxtaposition between her and her husband, because they both were fighting to advance, you know, black people at the time. But her husband's like, yeah, we need to fuck shit up. And she's like, no, like, we need to do it the right way. And in the beginning of the movie, you know, when the cop comes, she like has an attitude about it, and the girls have to tell her, like, you know what, calm down, blah blah blah. So you would think that she would be more, you know,
fight the power,
more abrasive towards moving forward and everything. But she, like, working at NASA and stuff, she understands that there's multiple different ways to get there. And she, she decided she was going to break the glass ceiling on her own. So I actually really liked that. I really liked her character. I wish that they had given more of her story in this. And I think that Catherine's story is good, and it needs to be told as well as Octavia Spencer's character. What's her name?
Dorothy.
As well as Dorothy's story. I think all of them are important, but I think that the other two, definitely, I wanted to see more of them. Not necessarily less of Catherine's story, but more of some of their story.
Well, right, because it's called Hidden Figures. You think it's going to be more equally weighted towards the three of them, but really it's more about her.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I think she's better historically documented. She lived longer.
Yeah, probably.
You know, her numbers were the big thing.
Yeah.
Like, obviously they all played their roles. But
and it said she went on to help with Apollo and...
Apollo 2.
The and other one.
There was another one, yeah. So, like, I get that there's probably more story to tell with her than there is with any of the others, but it would have been nice to see the others, because I liked those characters as well. I liked Janelle Monáe a lot in this movie. I would have liked to see more of her husband. I liked him better than I liked Mahershala Ali's character, who I know was in this movie because he's a real person. And she was really married to him for a very long time. But I don't know. Their romance didn't do anything for me. They were just kind of...
It didn't really do anything for me either. And
they basically write him out after they get married. Like, he's not even in the movie, the rest of the movie.
Yes, that's true. I don't know that I necessarily needed to see those aspects of it. I mean, the things with her daughters were sweet. I really love the first scene when she goes in there and she talks to her daughters and she's like, I have to be mommy and daddy. And then I thought that was really touching. And it's kind of crazy, because I just was like, how does this woman work a full-time job at fucking NASA and have three kids. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's so... In the 50s, like, you know, that was unheard of. Like, women didn't do that. Women took care of kids.
Especially not black women.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just... I mean, it was a very powerful part of her story.
They all had kids. All three of them had kids. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like Mahershala Ali a lot as an actor. I think he's great. I think he has a real commanding presence. But, like, he's a dick to her, like, immediately. And yeah.
You just cannot get over that.
I can't because say... I don't feel like he... I don't know. I feel like he doesn't, like, earn his...
He was heady. That's all he said.
What?
That's all he said. He just said that what she does was heady. And that, like, you gotta be smart to do that. That's it.
Right. He's like, oh, I didn't know they let women do that kind of thing. Like, I don't know. She gave him the what for, like, told him off. And then, I don't know, they still get married. I mean, obviously that's what happens in real life. But, like, I don't know. I felt like because we don't spend a lot of time with his character, I felt like he never earned his forgiveness.
Oh, my God. I think it was fine.
I guess. I don't know. But I like him as an actor. I don't begrudge him being in this movie. I think he's great.
Yeah, this cast was stacked.
They're
it's fucking stacked. Yeah, there's a lot of good actors and actresses. Kristen Dunst.
Oh, she doesn't really do anything.
She doesn't really do anything. Yeah. I was underwhelmed. I was really underwhelmed because I was like, she tries to come off as, like, you know, towards the end, like, I really don't have anything against you type thing.
Oh, I like that scene a lot, though.
I do like that scene, but I think that, again, I feel like they could have pushed the envelope with all the scenes before it and all the scenes after it, too. Because I knew she was going to make her supervisor at some point, but, like, I felt like she could have been more bitchy. I don't know. I just feel like she was a little bit under, I don't know. I feel like they could have taken it farther with her. Especially when you have somebody like Octavia Spencer going against her. Like, that's just, you know, I would have loved to be in that room just to watch them, like, duke it out scene to scene. Like, you know, like, just as actresses, like, they're both so powerful in their own ways, you know? And I just, and Kristen Dunst, like, she's very much from my childhood. So, like, I grew up watching her, and she's a lot older now, so it's like I wanted to see, like, what she brings to the table as an older actress, and she didn't really bring much. But that scene was good.
When she first walked out, I was like, holy shit, and I had to look to see when this movie came out, because I was like, she looks so much older.
Well, like, are you talking about compared to Spider-Man? Because it came out 14 years after Spider-Man.
Yeah. 9 years after Spider-Man 3, I was like, Jesus, 9 years.
Right. What is crazy. What's Octavia Spencer's final line in that scene? I love that. She's like,
she said, "I believe that you think that."
Oh.
When she tells her, "I don't really have anything against your kind or whatever." Y'all. She says y'all.
Yeah, I think that line's great. I like the way that scene. This movie doesn't have a lot of, like, interesting shots in it because it's just not that kind of movie. But I really like the way that they, like, go back and forth with, like, the mirrors in that. Mm-hmm. Like, she's talking in the mirror. You see one of them not from the mirror and one of them in the mirror. Like, it's just a back and forth. I like that. I just thought it was an interesting choice for the way that they decided to film that scene. I thought that the movie was going to be a little bit more kind of, like, whimsical in the way that it presents. It's, like... some of its visuals, because in the beginning of the movie when they show Catherine as a child, there's like a scene where she's like sitting in the hallway and she's like talking about shapes, and the shapes start like coming out of the like walls, and it's like kind of like a whimsical little like moment, even though it's just something really mundane that she's doing. And I thought that that was kind of setting a tone for like, this is a historical movie, but also we're gonna have a few like, you know, like numbers flying at the screen and like weird things like that. And none of that happens, and that's not a knock against the movie. It just makes that scene weird that it's there.
You were supposed to get that she was smart.
Yeah, I do get that. But I just think it's weird that they chose to illustrate it that way and then never again in the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is kind of a weird choice. I never thought about it that way.
Sheldon's in this movie.
Yeah, he was kind of an asshole for a minute.
He was supposed to be the one that is, like, the asshole. Like,
but he almost was an asshole. Enough.
He was a pretty big dick throughout most of the movie until the end.
Yeah, but I don't know. I didn't really care for him either. I mean, I guess it was probably the most accurate depiction. Like, that's probably, she probably did have to deal with somebody like that. Mm-hmm. Is his character real?
No, he's more of a composite character based on, like, multiple things throughout the movie.
Yeah.
There's only a few people in this movie.
How come all these white people aren't real?
I think the only real one is John Glenn, the astronaut. And the other astronauts, I think, are all real, too.
We didn't want to villainize people. Is that what it is?
I guess.
I thought Missy told me Kevin Costner's character was real.
No, he's not. Right. It says that on the Wikipedia article. He's not a real person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What else did they get wrong?
I'm trying to think because I read that whole thing earlier.
You did?
I read the whole like inaccuracy, the historical accuracy parts. Yeah.
On Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have sources for everything. They had interview clips and stuff on there. It said somewhere that like some historical person like went over it, and they said that it was probably about 74% in terms of accuracy.
That's not too bad.
A lot of the stuff that they changed was to make it more digestible as a movie, and to have but unfortunately, most of the stuff that they changed was with the white people.
Yeah.
And, like, the racial stuff, like, the stuff with the bathroom.
Yeah.
And the stuff with being in the room when, like... And that can take away from the drama of it, or, like, the importance of it. When you change... Mm-hmm. The only elements of the story you really change is the white characters. Mm-hmm. The white characters are nice.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that, like, when you have a movie like this, you want it to be important, but you also want it to be impactful. Like, you kind of don't want your audience to leave this type of movie feeling 100% great, because you want them to understand that that's how things were back then, and you should want to change that, and you should want to be better than, you know, we were in the 50s. So, like, I think that that's what this is missing for me, because I didn't walk away from this movie feeling any type of way. Like, it's like, oh, it told a nice story, and it's, you know, more or less has, like, a happy ending. Like, nothing major happens. Nobody got, like, jumped or whatever. I mean, I guess it was NASA, so these are, like, more, like, smart people that we're dealing with.
Professionals.
Right. So it's not like, you know, them. But still, I don't know. I just feel like that kind of, like, the scene that she yells at him is good. It is good. But it's also kind of like, when I was watching the scene, I was like, bruh, like, you should have been told him that you had to walk a mile to the bathroom. Like, I don't know. To me, that just kind of was like, that could have been avoided. Like, she could have just been honest from jump. Like, there's no bathroom over here for me. And he could have been like...
But you also you also have to think of it. She's a black woman in the early 1960s, late 1950s. Like, if she tells her superior, a white man, like, hey, you know, I got to walk a mile to go to the bathroom.
But she's also gone for 40 minutes every time she went to the bathroom. That's a long fucking time to be gone. If I was gone for that long, I would tell them, hey, I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah, but a racist asshole back then would be like, oh, well, too bad. That's your bathroom. And if you're going to be gone for 40 minutes, I'm just going to have to fire you. No bathroom breaks. Like, you can't take that risk.
I mean,
she's trying not to risk her job. That's why she's bringing her goddamn books with her to do her work while she's there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get it from, like, she just finally has her breaking point. And, like, that's just a movie thing, right? It's just it's a movie scene. It's the scene that all these kind of movies has to have, where the character hits their breaking point. They go off, and then the other character has their big, like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, you're not supposed to feel good after watching these types of movies, and I feel fine.
Right.
Like, I cried at the sweet scenes. There wasn't really anything sad for me to cry at.
Well, their story...
Like, if you watch, like, I don't know, I remember watching, like, Ruby Bridges as a kid, and, like, when I was done watching it, I didn't feel good. I remember watching My Friend Martin in school, and not feeling good after it, you know? Like,
we watched that like a million times.
Yeah, I know. Me too. But that's like, you, there's an element of like, those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. And it's like, if you're, and you're telling a historical story at that. So I feel like it should have been a little bit more serious. But
I think
I think they would have won Oscars if they had gone a little bit further with it too. But again, it was written by white people, so that kind of makes a lot of sense. I feel like if it was written by black people and directed by a black person, then it would have delved a little bit deeper and it would have been more, it would have been less surface level.
But I think another thing is that this isn't necessarily a tragic story.
No, that's
true. All three of these women remain successful for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's true.
They had these we start the movie and they're already working at NASA. We never have to see them work their way up to this.
Get to know.
And that might have actually been a more interesting movie because they probably went through more trying
to work there.
When we meet them, they are already working at NASA. Are they working one of the low-level jobs at NASA? Yes, but they are already working at NASA.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're already in a better position than 90% of black people in America at the time. And they remain successful the rest of their lives. They continue to work for NASA. And, like, so, like, I don't know where you put something like that in it, because it doesn't necessarily end in tragedy for any of these characters. Does it suck that in reality she didn't get to see the launch that she saved? Of course it does.
Yeah.
But, like, eventually she will get to start seeing launches because, you know, civil rights stuff happens and whatever. And I just think it's this particular story isn't exactly that kind of story.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can see it. I think those kind of stories are important to tell, and I think that white people especially get away way too often in movies like this not being bad enough, like not seeing how awful America treated black people. And these kind of movies, they always kind of
especially during this time,
right?
And maybe less people would fucking compare it to getting a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Or even the Holocaust, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But like I said, this particular story, it's one of racial triumph in a different way than a lot of stories of, like, racial triumph. Because they are already
successful
for the most part, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just don't think that's the story they're trying to tell.
No, I understand that. I think it would have been better if they did.
Sure. But I think there is a place for, and maybe I don't have any room to speak of this, like, because I'm a white man, but I think there's a place for a story about successful black women just being successful black women. I don't think that, I mean, they overcome race in a different way. I don't think it has to necessarily be a story about defying racism. It's just a story about, look at these three black women that change the course of history. Yeah, like, I think that's an important story to tell.
Mm-hmm. Mostly hidden.
Right. They are hidden figures, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, when you told me earlier,
I didn't know about.
Right. You told me earlier she didn't get, like, a medal until, like, Obama. I was like, why did it take 50 goddamn years for her to get a medal?
Because they're black. Because they're black. Like, literally.
My God. Golly. I don't know. All these movies can always do more when it comes to portraying race and racism properly. Even Red Tails. We watched Red Tails. Yeah. That movie definitely could have portrayed race. So
I think I enjoyed Red Tails a little bit more.
Than this.
Me too. Which is, like, if you told me that, I'd be like, fucking way.
Red Tails
has Taraji P. Henson, Janelle Monáe, and fucking Octavia Spencer as the three leads. Like,
Red Tails is significantly more historically inaccurate than this.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Like I said, there's just something about it that fell flat for me. That's just my personal opinion. Like, it's great for what it is, but again, I feel like there's a lot of things that could have been stronger about it.
I think that it has some really strong performances. I think that it tells an important story. I like a lot of the scenes. I like anytime she's doing the math. Like, I like all the scenes where she's, like, solving stuff and they're, like, looking at her in awe and they're, like, they can't believe it, but, like, they kind of have to because it's like, well, none of us came up with anything better. So I like all that. I love Octavia Spencer convincing them that, like, hey, well, first of all, I love her sneaking into the room to, like, learn how to operate those computers.
Yeah.
Because she knows that they're about to fucking replace all of them once with these computers are built. And I love the two dinguses who are like, wait a minute, what did you do?
Yeah.
You figured this out? What's your name again? And, like, she she just so commanding when she's like, yeah, if you want me to do this, I'm going to need some help. And that scene of all of the women from the the black women walking through the halls to come work there. I think that's great. I love all that stuff so much.
And she trained them.
Right. She trained them and taught them. Well, I mean, she knows how to use the computer better than anybody. So she's going to use her people.
I also like the scene when she's on the bus with her kid.
And she's like telling.
Yeah, she's like telling them to be good or whatever, and then she just whips out this book that she stole. The whole time I was like, you better have got that book, mama.
Oh, she got it, and she used it and got herself a promotion.
I pay taxes.
It's technically mine.
You can't take what's already yours. Like, so funny. How obnoxious, though. Fucking, you can't
read books.
Yeah. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, come on. Like, God. I mean, I know that this happened, but it's just next level. Again, and then we have people comparing it to today, and I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, anyways.
I think it's got good performances. I think it's a feel.
Yeah.
It's a feel good performances too. Story.
I think that could have been great.
Sure. I wish that they were together more. They weren't. They kind of separate them right away.
Yeah.
And they only have a few, like, they have scenes, like, in social settings where they're together, like, the party.
Yeah, the car scene is definitely, like, one of the best scenes.
Right.
Getting drunk?
Yeah, they get drunk. There's the birthday party, which I thought was for children, and then, like, all the, like,
adults are dancing.
The couples are, like, basically, like, dry humping each other, like... It wasn't that dirty. Like, they weren't like dancing like they would today. But
it was also
like
the 50s. So
it was the 50s. But I mean, there was something that, real sensual about the way those people were dancing.
That scene during that dancing party and everything, me and Missy noticed that all of the couples and everything are like wearing corresponding outfits, like colors and everything. And then Marshall Ali walks in and he's got the matching one with that girl, with the girl, and they're not even together yet.
With Taraji. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, with that is Catherine. Interesting. Yeah, his suit is like a greenish blue color and she's wearing a blue dress. So it like, it clashes together and all the other couples are like that.
Huh. Interesting. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I like that he brings her the soup. That was nice. Good soup.
She was sick because she had to walk.
Because she had to walk to the bathroom in the rain. Yes. She had to have known it was raining. Why'd she bring all that paperwork with her? She knew that it was going to get destroyed. Come on, use your brain. You're the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
And the music for the movie. I didn't know this until the end credits, but the music, and I knew it sounded fucking familiar. It's Pharrell.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No, it's Pharrell. Pharrell did music for this movie.
Really?
You could tell when he's singing. There's several songs where he's singing. I was like, I know that voice. It's fucking Pharrell. That's why. Because he worked on the score for this movie. I don't know. I guess I would have to... Do I like this better than Red Tails? I don't know if I do either, but...
I don't think I do.
I think I liked it...
I don't think I like it better than Red Tails.
I guess I liked it better than you did, because you're much more critical of it than I thought you would be.
I just wanted them to take a little bit further. I mean, I thought it's like it was a theatrical movie that came out. This wasn't at the time like
nominated for Oscars. Chris.
Yeah, I know. And I think they could have taken it a little bit further. That's it. I just think they could have delved more into the issues. That's all.
Okay. I don't disagree.
I think they would have had to have had it take place when they were younger.
Yeah, maybe half of the movie should have been them getting to
NASA,
and then the rest of it should have
jumped a little bit more. Could have jumped in between years a little bit more.
Yeah,
because, I think that would have been interesting.
Yeah, because it feels like most of their struggles they were already
past
by the time we.
Well, they were still struggling.
I mean, sure, but I don't know. I mean, none of them seemed like they were struggling financially. They all had pretty nice houses and a nice car and kids to take care of.
She wasn't.
What?
She wasn't what?
She technically wasn't allowed to be in the launch.
I said financially.
I know, but I'm just saying she wasn't.
No, they were definitely struggling. I'm saying in the movie. I'm not saying in real life.
No.
No, she wasn't allowed to be in the launch, and that fucking
sucks.
That's
struggling to break. glass ceilings.
Like, how shitty is it that the fucking astronaut that was put into space asked for her specifically? Like, this is historical fact. John Glenn actually asked for her to do the numbers. And then she still was not allowed to watch that man launch into space in the room. She had to watch it on TV in the, like, break room with everybody else. Like, how shitty is that? Fucking white people. The worst.
Oh, my God. I hope we don't get Remember the Titans. I'm going to cry so much.
Okay, we haven't...
That movie is so good.
We haven't finished this part. Okay, since Chris wants to get to the random movie, let's do our verdicts. Hidden Figures, plus or bust. Brady?
I'm going to give it a plus. I liked it.
Nikki, plus or bust for Hidden Figures.
Give it a plus as well.
Carissa, plus or bust.
I give it a plus. Okay. I give it a plus. It could have been better, but that doesn't mean it wasn't good.
Sure. I'm going to give it a plus as well. I liked it. Apparently more than everybody else in the room, considering. I get what you're saying, but I don't know. I guess I'm a dumb white guy because I liked the story.
Another reason why I like it too is I think it would have been, what was it rated?
PG-13, I'm sure.
It was rated PG-13, okay.
Right, it has to be. There's no F-bombs or violence or anything. Like, the worst it could be is PG-13. Because they get drunk. Like that.
I was going to say, if it was PG, then I would have been able to... I would have felt comfortable showing it to my old kids at work. But if it's PG-13, then I couldn't.
Also, it's based on a book, and I didn't really look into the book, so I don't know how much it changes from the book. I don't know.
It's PG.
So the book was based on the true events of them?
Yeah.
Oh, and then they adapted the book to a movie.
Yes.
Interesting.
Right.
It's Hidden Figures is the name of the book as well.
Huh.
We had a copy of the cartoon.
A cartoon.
They had like an illustrated book.
Oh, okay. Like a children's book version.
Yeah, we had it at work.
Gotcha.
And I never read it. So
this movie was PG, though.
Oh, well, there's nothing...
I knew it was PG.
There's nothing in it that's... Right, the worst that happens, really, is they show actual news footage of, like, a bus being blown up.
Blown.
Yeah.
Right, which was actually happened because you see the Martin Luther King...
Right, you see actual... They show a lot of, like, actual footage from, like, the events in this movie. Like, they'll show, like, clips from, like...
The rocket launch
and TV stuff. I liked that. I thought that was a good use of it. Because, like, they would show it... Because it would zoom out and it would be, like, somebody was looking at it on the TV. Like, it wasn't just them being lazy. Like, just put this here.
Yeah, I mean, they incorporated it well.
So. Anywho... Let's find out what movie we are watching next week, shall we?
I'm scared.
Are you scared?
So scared.
I feel like all good movies, I just don't really want to decom on Netflix.
Yay! It is a decom! Oh, I'm so excited. I want to watch this so bad. You guys will be excited. It's a stupid dog movie.
It's called...
I like dog
movies. It's called Hounded.
Oh.
What's Hounded? I don't know what that is.
It's a dog movie, I just told you. It's called Hounded.
It has Kyle Massey in it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Does it?
2001. Yes.
He was so good
It doesn't have Kyle Massey in it. This is from 2001. It's got Taj Mowry in it.
That's what,
Taj Mowry and Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Doesn't it have...
It's got Cuba in it.
Yeah,
Cuba.
I was going to say, doesn't it have a...
I was thinking of there's another one
in the
that
picture.
Has...
Go back.
Yeah, he's in the thumbnail, but he's not listed.
Yeah, that's weird.
At least that looks like him.
No, that's not Maybe it's Cuba Gooding Jr.
That can't possibly be him.
That is...
Yeah, I don't think it is.
That's not him. I think that's Craig Kirkwood.
He was in a bunch of stuff around the 90s and stuff, too.
Craig Kirkwood?
Yeah, it's weird. Though, looking at it on my phone and the thumbnail's so small it looks like
him. No, that's not him. He's just got a big smile. You're thinking of Life is Rough is this movie with Kyle.
Yeah, that's the one with Kyle Massey and Daniel Panabaker. Or Kay Panabaker.
This movie is not on the...
One of the Panabakers.
All the Black Stories.
It's not?
No, it's not. I don't have that on here.
That's weird. Add it.
Yeah, I love this. I love Life
is
Rough.
It's on here.
Is it?
On the app, yeah.
The Black Stories?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, next week we'll be watching Hounded for us, for our continuing of celebrating Black stories. But if you liked this episode, be sure to give us a like, 5-star rating, follow, whatever it is you do on your various podcast apps. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at +orbust. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/DisneyPlusOrBust. I post a poll every week asking how you felt about the movie that we watched. You can send us an email, any questions, comments, concerns, DisneyPlusOrBust@gmail.com. Otherwise, we will see you next week with Hounded. Bye. I don't have anything funny to say, so bye. Yeah, including me.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the downside, but it's okay.
Are you sure?
We all want to block out We all want to block out Matthew, but we fight the urge.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll give you the notes, and you guys just do your own podcast. How about that?
It'll just be 2 hours about Disney parks.
Oh, Jesus.
There's no Disney parks news. I don't think I wrote... Oh, no, I did write one thing down.
I was going to say, all the things that I love and hate about it combined.